This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Lord, we just thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to just gather here. Only you are worthy of this, Father God, to give up our Sunday mornings to just honor and worship you, Lord. I thank you for the privilege of being able to share, Father God. I thank you for just how you've convicted me and challenged me through reading in the book of Jude, Father. And, you know, I know I'm not going to say anything new, Father God, but I pray, Lord Jesus, that you may just speak to us, give us a fresh revelation of what it is that you want us to learn, Father, and that ultimately may just be to glorify and honor you, Lord. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray, amen. So as I mentioned in my prayer, I will be speaking from the book of Jude. Let's see, Jude has exactly 25 verses. So Jude is very, 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 very short. It's right before Revelations. And even those 25 verses, my goal today is to get through two. It's to get through two verses. But I would encourage you, if you get a chance, go home, read it. You can read it a couple times very quickly. But I think like everything else in God's word, right, is very challenging and transforming and living, and we're blessed for that. So a couple years ago, Maylise, she was leading her, she's had a college small group where it was her, it started off with her, and then Nicole, who is, you guys remember Nicole, she was here for our worship team, and then Britton, and then there was some college age girls that were coming to our church. So it's been probably like 4 years that this small group was going. And a couple years ago, they did a book study on the book of Jude. There's this kind of popular Christian figure. Her name is Jackie Hill Perry, and she has a whole study on it. And I was very challenged by it. We would kind of discuss. We would discuss things before she would go to small group. I'd watch the videos with her. And as I was, before Pastor Mario asked me to share, I had just started reading through the book of Jude again, and then he asked me to share, so it kind of worked out. But some things that I learned from that book study that Maylise did, she kind of provides some context. She says 21 out of 27 New Testament books are letters or epistles, right? These letters, we know that the word is inspired by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so these letters are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And a lot of these letters have a basic structure. They start with a greeting, right? And that greeting usually has a couple parts to it. So first, it names who the sender is, right? So who's the person writing this letter? It describes who the recipients are. And usually it offers a prayer, a blessing, or a thanksgiving. Now, in the book of Jude, the purpose that for this letter specifically is that Jude is trying to encourage the readers to contend for the faith, right? He talks about how there's going to be false prophets that have entered into their faith, right? And he's going to encourage them to contend, right? To kind of fight against that. Sometimes letters can bring encouragement. Sometimes they can bring a rebuke, right? There's I think it was in Corinthians where speaking out against a division that's been allowed to enter the church. But these letters have a purpose, right? And as we're looking at the book of Jude and we're looking at these things, right, we have 21 letters. They all kind of start the same. I think that's important, right? Because we know it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It could have started anyway or it could have been said anyway. So for the sake of today, I'm going to focus on the first two verses, which is the greeting, right? I'm going to focus on the greeting in the book of Jude. So I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the NIV. I don't know if I put ESV up there. That was my mistake. So it says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may peace and love be yours in abundance. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Now, it immediately starts off, right? It follows a pattern. So Jude is introducing himself. He introduces himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, which is very interesting because if you know, thank you. If you, as you read, I didn't know this, but if Jude is saying that he's the brother of James, we know that James is the brother of Jesus, so A plus B equals C, right? Jude is actually also the brother of Jesus. So in a world where, even if we go back into ancient history and it still is the same today, in a world where status is everything, right? My mom would say it's not about how much you have, but it's about who you know, right? A lot of people can have a lot of resources, but if you don't know the right people, it's not gonna get you as far. So in a world where who you know can get you status, where who you know can maybe open doors, Jude doesn't leverage his being a brother to Jesus for his own gain, right? If he wanted people to listen to him, he could have said, Jude, brother of Jesus. People would have been like, oh, okay, all right, well, let's definitely pay attention. But I really love that Jude, in this moment, he doesn't take that status or try to leverage the fact that he's Jesus' brother, but instead, he identifies with kind of the lowliest in society, a servant. So the question is why, right? I know for me, if I want to, you know, I'm in education, so a lot of times, you know, it's very easy to use name recognition to get what you want, especially with kids, right? Like, not to pick on the Mueller Kozlowskis, the Pollards, right? Their kids go to our school. So if anything were to happen, right, I could be like, hey, I'll call up mom right now. And it has a totally different impact as opposed to just being like, you know, you're going to get in trouble. You see the difference, right? We can use names. But why does Jude identify himself as a servant of Christ? And I really think it comes down to this. I think the reason he does is because we see a principle here that's very important for us, that knowing Jesus personally and intimately leads to humility, right? And if we think about Jude, right, he knew Jesus very well, right? Not only as being a disciple of Jesus, but also being related to Jesus. He would have known Jesus very, very well. And in that knowing him intimately and personally, we saw that it leads to this humility where Jude says, I'm a servant of Christ. I don't know about you, but it'd be very difficult for me to say that I'm a servant of my brother Jonathan or my brother Javier. But Jude, that's how he introduces himself. And we see this in scripture time and time again, right? In Isaiah 6, we see that Isaiah he's in the presence of the Lord, and he falls to his feet, and he says, woe is me of unclean lips, right? It leads him to this humility. We've seen the transformation from Saul to Paul, right? How we saw his life, right, was one of like status and power, but then when he was confronted on the road to Damascus, how that led to humility, and he brags on his weakness. So we see this all the time, right? Knowing Jesus personally and intimately leads to humility. So the challenge for me is, if my relationship with Jesus isn't yielding the fruit of humility, then something is wrong. Or as we like to say, the math ain't mathin'. Something is off. Something isn't working. Or as in the study, Jackie Hill said, the hermeneutics is off, is what she said. But the math ain't math, and something is wrong. So if my relationship with Jesus isn't yielding the fruit of humility, then something is wrong. And I think what happens a lot of times is that we don't realize that we can easily fall into this trap where something's not adding up. So I think of Martha and Mary, right? Even in Luke 10, 38, 42 is that famous story where Martha is busy and she's serving everyone while Mary's at the feet of Jesus. And Martha, in and of itself, she's not doing anything wrong. They welcome people into their homes. She's serving them. But in her busyness, she's in the presence of Jesus, but yet she's missing out on what she should be doing. Right? She's missing out on the blessing of being at the feet of Jesus. So again, I know that I can be in the presence of Jesus, but yet something can still be wrong in my relationship with Jesus. A.W. Tozier, I was reading The Pursuit of God, he talks about this in the sense of like Jesus, when he died on the cross, the veil tore and he made a way for us to be in the presence of Jesus. But yet we, as broken people, we end up then putting up our own veils. Right? And I think in this situation, Martha put up a veil of busyness. And that veil of busyness, right, was keeping her separate from the blessing of being in relationship with Jesus. And sometimes it's selfishness, but we put up our own veils, right? The way was made, and then we put up our veil that separates us. I think also scary, if you look in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, it's talking about that there's going to be people that are going to do things in the name of Jesus. They're going to prophesy, they're going to do miracles, but yet at the end of the day, Lord is going to say, I never knew you. So they're going to do things, miraculous, powerful things, and they're going to do it in the name of God, but yet God is going to say, I did not know you. So again, if my relationship with Jesus is not yielding the fruit of humility, then something is off. And we have two examples of that can happen. I think the interesting is, especially with pride, pride can be that veil that separates us. It's very, I like to think of pride as being very sneaky, right? Before you know it, pride just kind of sneaks in and grows and grows and grows. And Mike and Ellie were asking me about how work is going, and work is going great. There's been some crazy things, but overall, like, work is going great. There was, like, the first 2 weeks, I was getting, like, W after W. It was awesome. I was winning, and it was great. And there was this one moment where something went the way I didn't want it to go, and I felt this intense, like, I was super upset. I was, like, I got paranoid. Like, it was just really bad. So after these great 2 weeks, one small thing happened, and all of a sudden, I was just in this weird place. And I remember sitting there and talking with, I work with Maylee, so I sit here. She sits, like, 3 feet that way. I have a friend that sits in front of us, and we're talking through it. And I remember just sitting in those feelings and thinking, like, man, what is going on? I felt the Lord really challenged me that I was all those, like, victories and good things that were happening, I was allowing them to really become my purpose, become my, it was creating this pride in me of, like, I can do no wrong, and then something went wrong, and in actuality, it didn't, right? But my pride was taking me to this place, and that was it happened so quickly. I mean, it happened so, so, so fast. And I need to be careful, right? Because again, if my relationship with Jesus is not yielding humility, then something is off. And it can be like Martha. I can be in the presence of the Lord, but maybe I'm not taking the time to really focus and be present in his word and what's happening, or taking time to listen, just setting my busyness, even busyness with good things, get in the way. Or it can be like those people that were not known by God. My guess is that they were doing things in the name of God, but maybe had zero time with the Lord. And Tozer talks about that as well. It's very easy for our doing to not flow out of our being with Christ. So I want to start transitioning into this next part of the greeting, and this is probably going to be what starts to wrap it up. So he says, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may peace and love be yours in abundance. So he identifies who the readers are. He provides a blessing. He says to the readers, he says, there's three things that stand out. He says, you are called, you are loved, and you are kept. You are called, you are loved, you are kept, right? So he's speaking this to people that have declared Jesus as their Lord and Savior, right? Saying you are called, you are loved, and you are kept. And let's keep in mind in the background that he's writing this letter to encourage and equip these believers to go contend and fight for the faith, right? Against false teachers who have entered the church. So he says you are called, right? When he says that, it talks about how we are called to faith through the gospel. And because of this, we're being justified in Christ. So when they read this, they're saying, I've been called to faith through the gospel. And not only that, but I'm being justified through Christ. That means that they are right in God's eyes. We sang about this in the first song, right? It says, you know, he's telling them what is broken is being made whole. What was stained is being made clean. What was dead is being brought to life. You are called. You are called. And he's saying this to them. He says, you are loved. Right, and I try not to do too much of the Greek, you know, Greek words and stuff, because it just, I always feel like I'm going to mess it up. But Adam inspired me. So I guess the Greek word for love in this instance is agapao. And it is the verb of agape, right? So it's agape in action. We talk about agape love, right? So it's agape in action. So he's telling them, you are called, you are justified, you are being made new. And he says, you are loved. You are loved unconditionally and sacrificially, right? Saying there's nothing, God loves you. It's not about what you did. It's not about what you're going to do. God loves you unconditionally. Not only does he love you unconditionally, but he loves you so much that he gave his life to die an awful death, right? He sacrificed everything. He sacrificed being in heaven, coming down to earth, right? Humbling himself, suffering on the cross for you. And then he goes on to tell them that you are kept, right? You are protected. And in this case, I think he's specifically talking about how in this time where you're going to go contend for the faith, right, you are going to be protected from falling away from Christ. There's these false teachers that are trying to infiltrate the church. They're trying to teach these things that are opposite of the gospel to get you to fall away. But don't worry, because you are kept, right? You are kept for Jesus Christ. You are protected. So as I'm thinking about these things and I'm thinking about him telling these people, you are called, you are loved, you are protected, I was very, very, very convicted, because when I take a look at my own life, I wonder who in my life needs to hear this. Who has the Lord blessed me with opportunities to be in community, in spheres of influence, that needs to hear the words, you are called, you are loved, and protected? And not only that, but when I really, really start to peel it back, I was really convicted, because I started to think to myself, not only do my brothers and sisters in Christ need this, right? We all need this, but how many times do I speak this over my wife? How many times do I speak this over my kids? My wife knows I love her. I tell her all the time. I tell her, I love you. You know, I appreciate, she's my best friend. I tell her all the time. My kids know that I love them. I tell them all the time. I tell them they're, you know, I try to encourage them. They know they're brave, they're smart, they're courageous, which is awesome. I need to continue to do those things. But how many times have I told them that they are called by Christ, that they're being made new? How many times have I told them that they are loved unconditionally and sacrificially by our Heavenly Father? How many times have I told them that they're being kept and protected by our God? And for me, that's where it really started to, I don't know, that's where the slap in the face came, right? Like, there's people in my life that need this, but more importantly, the people in my house that need this. And am I doing that? And what I really love about this is that in this greeting, I feel like it's the pep talk before going out on the field, right? Like, it's the pep talk before he's going to send them to do the work of fighting for the faith. He doesn't just say, hey, go fight for the faith. No, he reminds them who they are in Christ. He says, you are called, you are justified, you are right in God's eyes. You are loved unconditionally. You might mess up, but you are loved unconditionally. And you are kept, you are protected. And then I love, because he says, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. He doesn't say things like, may you have the best argument in abundance. May you, you know, just be ready to fight, you know, to the bitter end. He says, no, I'm reminding of you who you are in Christ, and then I'm praying that mercy, peace, and love may be yours in abundance as you go do this work of contending for the faith. So I think that the challenge for me, and hopefully for us, is, one, do we have people in our lives that are speaking these things over us, right? Do we have people, and have we placed ourselves in communities? Have we placed ourselves in deep, vulnerable relationships where people are going to remind us, you are called, you are loved, and you are kept? And when they remind us of that, are we going to allow that truth to take place in our hearts? But I think the second part of that, right, I think when we're really new in our faith, it might just be all about, you know, I want people to remind me of who I am in Christ and bless me and pray for me. And that's important. But if we don't then take that gift that's been giving it to us and share it with those around us, then I feel that, you know, we still have a little bit to go in our spiritual maturity, right? It's not just about coming here and God, give. But when the Lord is filling us up, right, then Lord, give us opportunities to pour that out onto those around us. So do we have people in our lives that are speaking this truth over us? Are we believing it? And then are we speaking it to those around us? If I'm being honest, we don't know what people are going through. I don't know what kind of a week you had at work. And maybe you're gearing up for a really hard week. And maybe you need to know before you go to take on that week that's coming up. Maybe you need to be reminded that you are called, you are loved, and you are kept, you are protected. Maybe this week the Lord is going to place someone in your life that you're going to be able to share the gospel with. You're going to be able to live the gospel in front of them. I don't know that. But maybe I know that right now my job is to encourage you that you are called, you are loved, and you are kept. So that when those times come when maybe you need to contend for the faith, or maybe you need to encourage someone else, or maybe you need to give of yourself sacrificially, you can do it from a place of knowing who you are in Christ. You can do it from a place of a personal relationship that is leading us to humility. So my prayer for us as a church is that we may be marked by humility because of our intensely personal relationship with Christ. That the things that we do may flow out of our relationship with Jesus. Right? That I may not miss out on being in the presence of God because of my busyness, because of my anger, because of fill in the blank. And that in that humility, we encourage our brothers and sisters, not just to encourage them for encouragement's sake, we need to encourage them, but so we can encourage each other so that they can go out and contend for the faith. I think about James and Amber, right? They're in the process of going, and Brian and Cecile, they're in the process of going to FSU, right? They're going to contend for the faith. They're going to love students. They're going to encourage students. They're going to have difficult conversations. There's going to be times where maybe you can't be home with your spouse or putting your kids to bed because you're going to be loving and investing in someone else that needs it in that moment. But I pray that when you do that, that you are empowered by the fact that you are called, you are loved, and you are kept. And the Lord is going to keep you and keep your family. You know, I think of Jefe, Jeff. You know, we were talking earlier. You say that you have maybe a tough week coming up, some decisions to make. I pray that in that process that you are reminded and that you sit in the truth that you are called, you are loved, and you are kept. Lavella, you are called, you are loved, you are kept. I can go on and on and on. But I pray that for our church, and I pray that again that that like Jude, we may be marked by humility because we've known and we get to know Jesus every single day in a personal and intimate way. So again, my prayer is that we be a church that is marked by humility because of our personal relationship with Christ. That what we do may flow out of being with Jesus. And that in our humility, we take the time to encourage our brothers and sisters so that they can go out and do the work of contending for the faith. Lord, I just thank you for this time, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your living word, Father God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, because it's just so powerful, Lord. You know, we read a lot of different things, whether it's reading books or you know, social media feeds, Lord Jesus, and we get information and we get laughs, Father God, but when we read your word, Lord Jesus, we read life, Father God. You breathe into us, Lord Jesus. You redeem us and you restore us, Father God, so that we can go out and run the race with perseverance that you set before us, Lord. So I thank you, Father, for the words of Jude here, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father God, that you may help me, Lord, to lead in humility, Father God, that my life may be marked as a servant of Christ, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as this week comes up, Lord, that you may remind me to speak these words over those around me, starting at my home, Father God, that I may speak it over Melise, over Solara, over Ellie, over Emmett, Father. That you may just give me eyes to see who around me might need to be reminded of who they are in you, Father God. Lord, I just pray that over this church, Lord, that we may walk in step with you, Father God, knowing that we are called, we are loved, and we are kept, Lord Jesus. And those things are not to be used for our own gain, Father God, but those things are to be used, Father God, for your glory. That we sit in that truth, Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom, Father God, to better love those around us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for this time together, Father. We pray that the rest of our day may just be an act of worship unto you, Lord. In your holy name we pray, amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.